Hello and welcome to another edition of the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer. With the new tax law canceling the requirement for individuals to purchase health insurance, it seems the most obvious affected party in the whole healthcare equation would be healthcare providers. After all, isn't that the first thing the hospital or doctor's office asks you for? Your insurance card? Christian Sora is Vice President of Policy and Finance at the South Carolina Hospital Association. Today he's in our studio to help us with this topic. Christian, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
First, give us a background here on the association, a lobbying group.
Well, more a trade association. South Carolina's hospitals came together in 1921. There are nearly 100 members of the Hospital Association at this point. Certainly, advocacy and representation of the hospital's interests is important, but I think most people who work in hospitals or work for hospitals will tell you that the patients come first.
And are the hospitals concerned about the mandate being repealed?
Coverage is always a top priority for hospitals and healthcare professionals. The repeal of the individual mandate doesn't take effect until 2019. So one of the things that we're making sure people are aware of today is that that rule will not change for one more year still, and it's important for people to keep finding ways to stay covered so that they can have access to the healthcare services they need.
Talk about the relationship between the healthcare exchanges established under Obamacare and hospitals.
Sure. So about 7% of people who get insurance in South Carolina get it through the individual market, and those are the exchanges as we commonly know them. It's an important way to get access to coverage, especially for low-income households that might not otherwise be able to afford it. And I know that many are concerned about some of the changes that have been made administratively in the past few months, whether it's the decision to stop making the so-called cost-sharing reduction payments or some other regulatory changes that may undermine the access that's currently available through the marketplace.
And so speaking of these changes, what does that mean specifically not only for hospitals but for consumers?
Sure. Well, it can affect affordability and it can affect access to care through the marketplace. So for instance, we just talked a moment ago about what will happen when the individual mandate goes away in 2019. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office took a look at that question, and they determined that premiums were likely to increase by about 10% for people who receive coverage through the marketplace. So that's a challenge for those who already face affordability problems. It also means that potentially as many as 13 million fewer Americans will have coverage a decade from now because of that change.
There's been a lot of discussion recently about a new model for healthcare, outcome-based. Have hospitals embraced this?
Sure. And in fact, you know, one of the terms that tends to be used for that kind of work is payment reform, right? So it's not the most glamorous term. It's not always apparent what that even means at first. And in fact, there are many different ways that payment reform models can be structured. If you want to move to that kind of a payment mechanism, whether it's in Medicaid or another governmentally funded program, often you need to work with state or federal officials to get to some kind of consensus as to how those payments can be structured. You know, because ultimately, it's a question of who is going to face how much of the risk when it comes to how healthcare is paid for. So there are a number of emerging models we're starting to see. Some healthcare systems are interested in moving more aggressively down that road than others. And we think that there are opportunities for the state to embrace those kinds of payment model changes in a way that allows the systems that are ready to go faster to be able to do that.
And one of the big items in the news recently has been the merger between Greenville Health System and Palmetto Health here in Columbia. Is this a trend you see continuing?
There's certainly been a move towards consolidation among providers over the course of the past several years, and in many respects, that's only accelerated with the Affordable Care Act. So I think if we're trying to look into the future, we are likely to continue to see more of this consolidation. In many respects, it reflects hospitals and health systems trying to drive additional cost out of the system. I think healthcare providers and caregivers are sensitive to issues of price, and the more that we can do to eliminate overhead or drive down administrative costs, the more that hospitals and healthcare providers are going to want to be able to do that to make sure that we can preserve access to these services in the broadest possible way.
And why do you suppose some hospitals participate in some networks, some exchanges, and some don't? Why is it not universal?
ultimately, much of it comes down to price. Hospitals have to do the same thing that doctors and other providers do of meeting with different insurance companies and trying to figure out how much is the appropriate amount of money to be paid for doing different kinds of work. Sometimes they can come to an agreement. Other times they can't. But certainly, you know, hospitals do everything they can to keep the doors open to as many people as possible.
Well, Christian, thank you so much for stopping by our studio today.
Thanks for having me.
Christian Sora is Vice President of Policy and Finance for the South Carolina Hospital Association in Columbia. We will have a link to his organization posted at our webpage so you can learn more. Our address is southcarolinapublicradio.org, where you can hear this show again and subscribe to our podcast with the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer.
The views expressed on the South Carolina Business Review do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio.